And bienvenue and welcome to The Musical Man, the podcast that shines new light on the Tony Award for Best Musical. Each week we examine the nominees and winners of that esteemed decoration, and this week we'll be discussing How Now, Dow Jones?
You can wither away to a wraith, dwelling solely on misguided faith, that some skinny galoot in a gray flannel suit will turn out to be Henry VIII. They don't make them like that anymore. They don't make them like that anymore. No, the brute who would shoot to get into your flat, they don't make them like that anymore. In this big so-called city of fun, it's a notion conceived by a nun that each goggle-eyed goon of a budding tycoon is a latent Attila the Hun. Oh, they kiss you goodnight at the door, oozing standard and poor from each pore. But the beast is deceased who would go to the mat. They don't make them like that anymore. They don't make them like that anymore. Oh, Sophia Loren and Lola Brigida could walk through the door and they'd only get frigida. We're getting itchier. They're getting icier. Wall Street is where men are men, but they're micier. Where's my Henry? Where's Attila? Where's that trusty old lusty gorilla? Where's that lovely Greek god among civilized men who'd come on now and then like Godzilla? They went out with the Crimean War. It's a Rorschach instead of a roar. When your dear financier cannot get up at bat like his grandfather got up before. Yes, the kind of a guy where you know where you're at. Who'd desert Merrill Lynch for a pinch or a pat. Who wouldn't waste moments removing his hat. No, they simply don't make them like that anymore.
But first, how are we doing? I hope, as always, that this, the latest episode of The Musical Man, finds you well. I have a feeling that you're on the other end of this episode thinking to yourself, what is going on with Jonathan and the trailer for Wicked? Has he seen it? My God, I want an update. That's what you want. Well, I'll give it to you. I have not seen the trailer. As I have said before, I want to see it on the big screen, so I am holding off until I see it on the big screen. Chris and I are going to a movie today. I am recording this episode on Saturday, March 30th. We are going to see Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. Is it just Godzilla Kong? Do I have to say the X out loud? I'm always confused by that. Is it Spy X Family or is it just Spy Family? I'm pretty sure it's just Spy Family, so I believe in this instance it's just Godzilla Kong, the new empire, not to be confused with Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. There's a new empire over here, which should not be confused with this empire over here, which is currently Frozen. So maybe we will see the Wicked trailer before Godzilla Kong. Oh, that would be wonderful. What a surprise. I'm telling you, oh, this resolution I've made to only watch trailers on the big screen, it has made trailers exciting again. Oh, of course I know what movies are coming my way, but I only get to see the previews. Ooh, bigger than life. Bigger than life. As big, maybe bigger than Godzilla and Kong themselves. Okay, so I will keep you updated on the status of this Wicked trailer situation. But for now, Patty Benny, how's about we share the show facts regarding How Now, Dow Jones? Show me the show facts. That's what our listener is saying now. All right, let's do it. Let's go. How Now, Dow Jones was a 1968 nominee for the Tony Award for Best Musical. It opened on Broadway on December 7th, 1967 at the Lundfontein Theater and ran for 220 performances. The book was written by Max Schulman. The music was written by Elmer Bernstein and the lyrics were written by Carolyn Lee. The director of the original Broadway production of How Now, Dow Jones was George Abbott, who actually served as a replacement for Arthur Penn. Drama. Arthur, you're fired. Musical director Peter Howard, orchestrations Philip J. Lang, vocal arrangements Peter Howard, and the choreographer was Gillian Lynn, though they were replaced by an uncredited Michael Bennett, a very young Michael Bennett. I'm sorry, Gillian, you're also fired. Get out of here. Scenic design, Oliver Smith. Lighting design, Martin Ehrenstein. Costume design, yes, Robert McIntosh. And the original Broadway cast, well, I have some highlights here for you. We begin with Martin Ambrose, and we continue with James Congdon, Jennifer Darling, Patty Davis, Sally DeMay, Frank DeSalle, Rex Everhart, Bob Gorman, Arthur Hughes, Bernard Hughes, Charlotte Jones, John Joy, Lucy Lancaster, Marlon Mason, Joe McGrath, Alexander Orfali, as always, I tend to mispronounce some of these names on occasion, and I do apologize for that. We have Anthony Tony Roberts, who we would have heard during our coverage of Sugar. We would not have heard him during our coverage of Jerome Robbins Broadway, because he was a replacement in that cast, as I recall. He was also in the revival, the 90s revival of Cabaret, although I want to say he was a replacement for that as well in the early 2000s. So that's just an asterisk for my research there. And of course, Xanadu. He played the Gene Kelly role in the stage musical version of Xanadu. We've talked about that on the main feed. Let's continue with this cast. Ron Schwinn, Hiram Sherman, Stanley Simmons, Francesca Smith, Sammy Smith, Doug Spingler, Fran Stevens, Tommy Toon, the one and only Tommy, served as Michael Bennett's assistant while performing as a member of the cast. And finally, last but certainly not least, Brenda Vaccaro. Bonus fact, Madeline Kahn herself had a supporting role in How Now, Dow Jones when it was on the road, but her part was ultimately written out of the show. You're fired, Madeline! Tony nods. All right, How Now, Dow Jones won the Tony Award for Best Featured Actor in a Musical, which went to Hiram Sherman, and it was additionally nominated for the Tony Award for Best Musical, of course, but also Best Composer and Lyricist, Elmer Bernstein and Carolyn Lee, Best Actor in a Musical, Anthony Roberts, Best Actress in a Musical, Brenda Vaccaro, and Best Direction of a Musical, George Abbott. So, 6 nominations in total, 1 award when all was said and done. Let's talk about the plot. This plot summary you're about to hear is based on a reading of the libretto by Max Schulman. Nuts to Wikipedia this time around. I don't need you, Wikipedia. I have the libretto, okay? All right, Act 1, Scene 1. We open on the image of Cynthia Pike leading a tour of the New York Stock Exchange, one of the busiest and most exciting spots in the city that never sleeps. Cynthia explains the ABCs of the stock market and introduces us to a number of its key figures, including Kate Montgomery, the quote-unquote friendly voice of Dow Jones, who provides regular updates on the state of the economy, and William Foster Wingate of Wingate and Company. Cynthia's attempt at capturing Mr. Wingate's attention, hello, Mr. Wingate! Oh, her attempt is thwarted by Judy Evans, a reporter from the NBA. Don't even ask. I don't know what the NBA is in this context. I tried to find out. I could not figure it out. Judy says to Mr. Wingate, I understand you gave a $3 million scholarship fund to the Harvard Business School yesterday. What exactly is the scholarship for? Mr. Wingate doesn't miss a beat. He says, underprivileged Republican children. Cynthia and her merry band of tourists are thoroughly impressed by this answer. Oh, only in New York? We will never hear from the reporter Judy Evans again, so don't worry about her, okay? Act 1, Scene 2. The Child's Restaurant Building on Riegelman Boardwalk. Herbert Magruder, described by the book as, quote, prim and fussy, quote, tucks in with a tuna fish sandwich, a glass of buttermilk, and the latest edition of the Wall Street Journal. Kate enters with a dish of yogurt and joins him. We learn the two have been engaged for 3.5 years, but Herbert will not walk down the aisle, until the Dow Jones Industrial Average hits 1,000. Once that miracle occurs, Mr. Wingate will make Herbert a customer's man, and his future with Kate will be set. Herbert heads back to the office, leaving Kate to commiserate with Cynthia. Oh, hello, Cynthia. Our resident tour guide is in love with Mr. Wingate, but he barely knows she's alive. The romantic forecast does not look pretty for either of our heroines. Kate says to Cynthia, "Do you ever get the feeling you and I are barking up a couple of dead trees?" To which Cynthia responds, "Sure I do. We'd have a better chance if we were convertible debentures." Following a melancholy duet, Cynthia bids Kate adieu. Bye-bye. Her seat is filled by Charlie Matson, who is having 4 martinis for lunch because he is suicidal. Charlie's childhood sweetheart, Sue Ellen, will not marry him without her father's blessing, and her father believes Charlie to be nothing more than a flop. Daddy may be right. Charlie thought he could make it big in the Big Apple, but he's already lost 12 jobs in the last 6 months. Kate bonds with Charlie as she is also suicidal, and they resolve to enjoy a night on the town. Side note, in the book Not Since Carrie, author Ken Mandelbaum asks the following questions with a self-satisfied sneer. Quote, "Was there a dumber plot in post-war musicals? Why is Charlie trying to kill himself at the beginning?" Quote, "They explain it, Ken? Did you read the libretto? Did you look into the show at all, or did you read a summary of the show? Look, I like that book well enough. It's a good book. You should check it out. Not Since Carrie is the title, but to pretend as if the show doesn't explain why he's suicidal is silly, Ken. Okay, Act 1, Scene 3. Cynthia visits Mr. Wingate at his office. She reminds him of their encounter in a broom closet at the office Christmas party. Mr. Wingate dimly recalls the liaison and offers to put Cynthia up in an apartment for additional similarly clandestine meetings. Cynthia had hoped for a proposal of marriage, but seeing as Mr. Wingate is already married, she accepts her consolation prize with a sigh. Here's a decent joke from this portion of the scene. From a portion of this scene, I should say. Cynthia says to Mr. Wingate, quote, "You don't know it, but I am possibly the biggest fan you've got. I go to all of your speeches. I keep a scrapbook on you. The SEC investigation, the antitrust investigation, the monopoly investigation. Mr. Wingate, can I come right to the point?" Quote. I like that joke. Senator McFetridge stops by to inform Mr. Wingate that he will be conducting a thorough investigation of Wall Street as part of his re-election campaign. Wingate and his associates, Mr. Dow, Mr. Jones, Mr. Chase, Mr. Manhattan, and Mr. Trust, do their best to point the senator in another direction. Any direction. Why not investigate air pollution instead? Or perhaps prostitution? But their efforts prove futile. Senator McFetridge wants his pound of flesh. Act 1, Scene 4. Charlie and Kate lounge in bed, having just made love. Charlie doesn't smoke, but he wishes for a cigarette, as smoking after sex is, quote, what they do in French movies, quote. Kate asks if Charlie feels sinful. Charlie says, I don't know, if sin feels like a happy, furry little animal running around inside your ribcage, then I guess I do. And Kate says, I've got the same little animal, but he's going up and down my spine. Charlie says, maybe we should have checked the sheets, to which Kate replies, that would be an Italian movie. What? Oh. Kate has real feelings for Charlie, but when he describes a life of, quote, no plans, no programs, just carpe diem, quote, she decides to pack it in and go back to Herbert. There's more to life than flights of fancy, after all. Act 1, Scene 5. Cynthia takes us on another tour of the financial district, which leads into a parody of the Dreyfus Fund commercials that were airing on TV back in 1968. To quote the stage directions, quote, a lion, played by Ron Schwinn, comes out of the subway, turns, and perches on a pedestal, which is taken off. Quote, okay. Note, this is exactly what happens in the real Dreyfus Fund commercial. A lion exits the subway, walks around for a bit, then hops on top of the Dreyfus Fund logo. And my question is, who in the world was looking for a comedic riff on that? Oh, and it seems like they did nothing with it. They just recreated the ad. Oh boy, Act 1, Scene 5. No, 6! Scene 6. Mr. Wingate is antsy. He wants to break into the widow's market, but widows don't buy stocks from your typical Wall Street men, as they are too, quote, slick, glossy, and put together, quote. Wingate also mentions selling stocks to orphans, but that doesn't go anywhere. Mr. Wingate says widows want someone they can mother, someone gawky and tousled, like that nut out there on the ledge. Oh, what? The men of Wingate and Company haul a freshly suicidal Charlie into the building. He was standing outside on a window ledge about to kill himself, and they bring him in. Wingate says to Charlie, "Are you out of your mind? Standing on a ledge 53 stories above Wall Street? Have you taken leave of your senses? If you want to jump, go over to Dreyfus and Company." To which Charlie says, "They sent me here." Mr. Wingate is impressed by Charlie's pitiful hangdog attitude and promptly puts him on the payroll. If this miserable twerp can't sell stocks to widows, nobody can. Act 1, Scene 7. While paying Kate a visit, Cynthia complains about her new life as a mistress. What's the point of being a kept woman if Mr. Wingate never stops by for a slice of afternoon delight? All she does at her new apartment is watch Johnny Carson drink chocolate milk and eat peanut butter and raspberry jam sandwiches. A Dr. Gilman arrives to announce that Kate is pregnant. The doctor works on the ground floor of Kate's apartment building, I should say, so they're technically neighbors. Our heroine is distraught. Ah, pregnant! She loves Charlie, but would never want to burden him, and the idea of lying to Herbert fills her with dread. What in God's name is a girl to do, I ask? Act 1, Scene 8. Charlie speaks before a group of adoring widows known as the Central Park West Canasta and Common Stock Society. He convinces them to invest in American Optical, but the widows only seem to care about knitting him a sweater and pinching him on the ass. These women love Charlie. They are making Charlie rich. They want to fuck Charlie. Act 1, Scene 9. Having failed to dig up a speck of dirt on Wall Street, which, what? What are you talking about? Senator McFetridge asks Mr. Wingate to throw him a bone, a dirt bone, if you will. Mr. Wingate denies this request. Cynthia confronts Mr. Wingate about their arrangement, an arrangement he only dimly remembers. Cynthia says, "I guess I won't get busy until you get lonely." And Mr. Wingate says, "Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, yes, I've been intending to get over there." Cynthia says, "Tonight, maybe?" And Wingate says, "Afraid not. I'm making a speech tonight." Cynthia says, "Yes, that's right. The income tax, a Bolshevik plot." Not a bad joke. It's not great, but what are you going to do? Mr. Wingate assures Cynthia they will make whoopee soon enough. And Wingate says to her, "One thing you might keep in mind. I'm partial to flimsy pink pajamas." To which Cynthia responds, "Got ya. And what should I wear?" Act 1, Scene 10. Kate fails to break the news of her pregnancy to Charlie upon discovering he is engaged to Sue Ellen. What? Well, you see, Charlie is practically rolling in dough at this point. He sold a lot of stock to a lot of widows, which means Sue Ellen's father no longer views him as a flop, okay? Act 1, Scene 11. Herbert presents Kate with a chart that definitively proves the Dow will hit 1,000 within, give or take the next 6 months. Herbert says, "And when it happens, it's you and me standing at the altar." To which Kate responds, "Yippee." Disillusioned and seemingly out of options, Kate delivers a false report that puts the Dow at 1,000 points. Oh no, Wall Street will never be the same. Act 2, Scene 1. Everyone in New York City is celebrating their newfound wealth. Well, almost everyone. Act 2, Scene 2. Mr. Wingate has officially blown a gasket. He's convinced some rat within the system passed the wrong info to Kate and is afraid of what will happen once the truth annihilates the market. Senator McFetridge enters with Herbert, who explains that Kate only lied to ensure they would get married. When Herbert chose to call off the engagement, "Oh, how could you lie like that? We're not getting married anymore!" Kate ran away to points unknown. No one knows where she is. No one knows. Believing none of this to be true, Senator McFetridge points himself in the direction of NBC. He has every intent of exposing Wall Street once and for all. Wingate cries out, "You're going to say this on television?" And the senator says, "In 1 hour, and I better make it lively. I'm preempting Dragnet." Herbert, Charlie, and Mr. Wingate begin a frantic search for Kate. Act 2, Scene 3. The widows flirt with Sue Ellen's father. That's a whole thing. Charlie arrives and explains the market situation, which causes Sue Ellen's father to erupt. He put all of his money into the market based on Charlie's stupid advice. The widows are distressed, but do not blame Charlie, as they still believe in him to... Oh, they believe in him, and they believe him to be a very good and sexy boy. Act 2, Scene 4. Mr. Wingate, having adopted a terrible disguise, hides out from the press by ducking into the apartment he rented for Cynthia. To be clear, he does not recall renting the place for Cynthia. He barely remembers Cynthia. Look, none of this matters. I'm not going to go into the rest of this particular scene. There's a lot of... Everyone's horny, and there's a lot of running around. Forget about it. Act 2, Scene 5. Everyone is screaming about how they have to find Kate. Where could she be? Act 2, Scene 6. Cynthia, Charlie, Herbert, and Mr. Wingate are in Kate's apartment, talking to Kate. Was she here the entire time? I have no fucking idea. If you told me they cut an entire scene, I'd believe it. Anyway, Kate explains herself, but it's clear nothing she has to say will prevent the market from crashing. Why did anyone think otherwise? I have no fucking idea. Charlie and Kate are left alone to work out their problems, and Charlie sums up the situation thusly. He says, "Now here's the way I see it. You're pregnant, and I'm ruined. The widows are ruined. Bradbury, Sue Ellen's father, is ruined. Herbert and Sue Ellen are left at the church, and the American economy is bankrupt. Does that about cover it?" And Kate says, "Just about." Charlie says, "Right. Now, it seems to me there are several ways out of this. One way, of course, is suicide. But we're not too good at that, are we?" Kate says, "We could learn..." Yikes! You're pregnant! Oh, Lord. Don't worry, they decide to get married instead. Oh, fair enough. Act 2, Scene 7. This is the final scene. Wall Street is in a tailspin. Everyone is going bankrupt, including Senator McFetridge, who never stopped to consider that all of his money was in the market? Okay. Luckily, Kate and Charlie have an ace up their sleeve. AK, an incredibly old and acclaimed figure who agrees to buy up every stock in existence. Hooray! AK, by the way, really wants to fuck Cynthia. Here's some sample dialogue from AK. He says, "I like you, girly. Wanna come home with me? I got a place in Tuxedo Park. Come on down there with me." And then later he says, "Oh, nice fat girl. Who do you belong to?" And then later he says, "What happened to the fat girl?" That's my choice. I play him Southern. I highly doubt he's meant to be played as Southern. That's it. That's all I have for you in regards to a plot summary. All right. For the purposes of this week's episode, I read the 1967 libretto by Max Schulman. I got a copy of it through the library system. Once again, I raise my hands to the sky and say thank you to the public library system. I also listened to the 1967 original Broadway cast album of How Now, Dow Jones, and I watched the 1968 Tony Awards performance of Step to the Rear. Okay, so we get a very tepid introduction from Angela Lansbury at the top of this segment. She says, and I quote, and I will try to deliver this as muted and blandly as possible, because that's how she does it. She says, quote, "You wouldn't think they could make a musical about Wall Street, would you? Well, they did, with How Now, Dow Jones." Unquote. Don't get too excited, Angela. Angie? I'm pretty sure the laughter we hear during this performance is canned. It sounds like the sort of laugh track you would hear during an episode of Scooby-Doo, but the presumably live ovations, the applause we hear, those are perfunctory at best. Charlie and the Widows recreate Emanuel Lutz's Washington Crosses the Delaware. Hooray. The Widows execute a low-impact kick line. Hooray. And then Charlie dances with one of the Widows. Hooray. Nobody's very excited by this. And frankly, neither was I. Let's talk about the score of How Now, Dow Jones. We begin with the opening number, ABC, but I want to warn you, right at the top of this number, there is a reference to, this is a content warning, a trigger warning, they make a reference to rape, if you could fucking believe it, so just, you know, prepare yourself accordingly. Here we go, here's the opening number, ABC.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this guided tour of your New York Stock Exchange. The shares we trade here are owned by millions and millions of ordinary Americans, just like you and Howard Hughes and J. Paul Getty. The market is a ticker, a slender piece of tape, which notifies the public of its economic shape, which, if it weren't legal, would be statutory rape that's perpetrated daily from 10 to 3:30. A simple little business, it's ABC. A is for analyst. These are highly skilled professionals who spend their entire lives studying the market. Sir, do you think the market is going up or down?
We have every confidence that if there is no decline, the market will go higher.
From here to Saudi Arabia, if Johnson blows his nose, Herman and Hawks the baby, that's how the money goes. Oh, yeah!
The market has a logic whose wonders never cease. It's basically predictable and free of all caprice. It hits the floor in time of war and lower when there's peace. And all the smart investors rely on LSD. A simple little business, it's ABC. B is for broker.
You're thinking of buying U.S. Steel. Great idea. You're thinking of selling U.S. Steel. Great idea!
He thinks it's a great idea whether you buy or whether you sell. How come? C is for commissions.
3%, 2%, 6%.
Hey, deal below the table and steal beneath your nose. Watch your bloomers, Mabel.
Statutory rape is a hell of a thing to reference in the first 10 seconds of your opening number. I practically saw spots when I heard these lyrics by Carolyn Lee. Quote, "The market is a ticker, a slender piece of tape, which notifies the public of its economic shape, which, if it weren't legal, would be statutory rape. That's perpetrated daily from 10 to 3:30, a simple little business. It's ABC," quote. What exactly are we going for, Carolyn? Laughs? Because How Now, Dow Jones is not a poisonous pitch-black pill of a musical comedy. Not consistently, at least. Sure, every now and then you hear a line about rape or suicide, but most of this material would have been considered safe 10 or even 20 years prior. I mean, come on, childhood sweethearts with disapproving fathers, frustrated fiancés, and lovelorn mistresses? This is pretty old-fashioned stuff. I mean, mean, come on already. You wrote a softball satire of corporate malfeasance nearly 6 years after How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying premiered on Broadway. You've got jokes in here about LSD and popular television commercials. Stop acting as if you have an axe to grind or teeth to bare. You're not fooling anyone. Let me put it another way. When I said I saw spots upon hearing the rape line, it wasn't because I was rolling with irreverent laughter. Oh, I can't believe they went there. No, I was merely confused and annoyed. It is off-putting to consider there are no less than two musicals in the canon that make light of rape, and we've now talked about both of them via back-to-back episodes. Pretty sure we can close the book on the question of, is rape funny? No, it's not enough. Two compliments regarding ABC. Number one, Brenda Vaccaro, who plays Cynthia in this number, she manages to sell material that wants nothing more than to sell her down the river, and I admire her gumption. Number two, the lyrics may be dull and off-putting, but the music and orchestrations are bright, merry and bright, I do say.
Senator, we all stand ready to help your campaign. And you say you're going to investigate Wall Street because you need a new image? Why, if it's headlines you're after, there are far better targets than Wall Street.
A little investigation, an honest effort to capture the vote.
Beats Wall Street's true approbation, long as you go for the other guy's throat. Go and attack malnutrition, that's a condition loaded with yachts. Go hit the mafia with malice, that'll get ballast stuffed in your box.
Go throw a brick, go throw a stone. Go throw your hat in the ring, just let big business alone.
I gotta ask, how do actors stand it? Can you imagine having to learn and execute a song like A Little Investigation, which you just heard? A song that is naturally arrhythmic, moves slightly faster than a mosquito trapped in amber, and is otherwise formless from a musical perspective. Talk about a pain in the ass. No, that's fine. We'll just devise a bit of business for every fat bubble of dead air you have placed between each fucking phrase. That'll be a fun challenge for all of us, I'm sure. I personally cannot wait to absorb the image of 1,000 yellow playbills slowly rising to cover the faces of our disgruntled patrons. Yellow is my favorite color. If you told me I had to learn this song, I would throw myself into a briar patch. Before we play Walk Away in its entirety, I'd like to offer some advice. Do not pay attention to the lyrics. Marlon Mason's performance is perfectly fine, but don't worry about that either. Just focus on Elmer Bernstein's music and Philip Lang's orchestrations. That's where the magic is. That's the special sauce, the ambition. Uh-huh. Okay? I really like what's going on right at the top of the track, especially those dark, rich, low notes, and the bridge is pretty great as well. With all of this in mind, let us now hear Walk Away in its entirety.
The clocks don't stop when they ought to stop. They tick relentlessly on. Tonight the world is your pastry shop. Too soon the goodies are gone. How in the world did your hopes get out of hand there? Time you got up off the ropes, pet, don't just stand there. Walk away, walk away. Can't you tell that it's reveille blowing? Time to turn the boy loose. There are no more excuses to stay. Walk away, walk away. It's a great little dream you were growing. of day. Nothing lost, nothing owing. It was bright, it was gay, it was glowing. It was mindless and heedless, and words that are needless to say. Only where was it going? Only one little slip and it's showing. You walked into his arms and let come willy-nilly what may. Now come through, little girl, let's see you. Nothing lost, nothing owing. It was bright, it was gay, it was glowing. It was mindless and heedless, and words that are needless to say. Only where was it going? Only one little slip and it's showing. You walked into his arms and let come willy-nilly.
And to think you could have been focusing on lyrics like, "Tonight the world is your pastry shop. Too soon the goodies are gone," quote unquote. You should get on your knees and thank me for serving as your guide. You know what? You can do it later. We have other songs to talk about.
Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way? Here's where we separate the notes from the noise, the men from the boys,
the rose from the poison ivy.
Back in the bunch, I came up with a hunch. This was your up and Adam day.
It's one of those spells when you hear the right bells,
and your horoscope tells you to say,
will everyone here kindly step to the rear?
Begin to blare, and now I'm Washington upon the Delaware.
Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way?
Here's where we separate the duck from the quack,
the ace from the pack, the pip from the Macintosh. Is
back in the group. I came up with a scoop. This was the time to rise and say,
I've got in my eyes such a jubilant sky that the 4th of July will seem gray.
Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner give
away as our investments begin to grow?
I wasn't totally surprised to learn that Step to the Rear went on to become a breakout mainstream hit, a fact we will explore further during this week's show-related ephemera segment. The song can't hold a candle to whiz bangers like Before the Parade Passes By from Hello Dolly, or even Once a Year Day from The Pajama Game, but there's real spirit here, an old-fashioned desire to entertain and invigorate. I can't help but appreciate it. I may not be dancing in the aisle, you understand, but my toe, she's a-tappin'. Two minor quibbles. Number one, I'm afraid the lyric, "Here's where we separate the duck from the quack needs a full rewrite, all right? Get to work, number two. The number becomes overcrowded and noisy once the rest of the company joins Charlie and the Widows. We don't need that many people. Quit while you're ahead. How now, Dow Jones? That's my advice. All right, I think we can knock out the rest of the songs on our agenda fairly quickly. So let's, you know, put the pedal to the metal and, you know, whatever, burn rubber, as it were. The final moments of Rich is Better / Just for the Moment prove to be a solid showcase for the company as they positively roar through Peter Howard's vocal arrangement. Patty, Benny, could we hear those final moments of Rich is Better / Just for the Moment, if you please? All right, let's go.
Dead up ahead, there's a piper to pay. But oh, you'll forgive if I dance all the way
to the bank.
They'll call me a hellion and pure Machiavellian, but I like rebellion just fine.
The days are here again.
'Cause everyone ought to have one of those moments, and just for the moment it's mine.
Such heaven.
It's like Lizzie Borden explained to the warden when asked why she stepped out of line.
What?
Well, everyone ought to have one of those moments, and just for the moment it's mine.
Rich is better.
Which is the song you're about to hear. It's coming up. It finds Brenda Vaccaro doing everything she can to bring the house down with some of the most unhinged, dare I say, violent comic energy I have ever witnessed. I'm not convinced the work was worth it in the end, but Jesus Christ, can I relate to her instincts? Brenda is not familiar with the phrase go big or go home. She's never going home, you understand? Going big is her only option. All that said, please take it away, Brenda. Go nuts.
Oh, oh, he's here, he's here. My long-awaited Lancelot is here. My God, he's here. Oh, gadzooks, God what? I'm trembling in my pants a lot. That far he's not, but near. And I complained of playing Sleeping Beauty, and how I nagged you, Lord, to make it stop. Oh, and how I hated waiting for the other shoe to drop. Oh, my God. Oh, so now it dropped. And oh, with dishes in the sink, is it of joy, I think, or fear? I dream someday my prince would come. The reason's not quite clear. Oh, how weird, how odd. I can't think of a thing to say, but oh, my God, he's here. Penelope am I, and he's Ulysses, the man for whom I've waited and repined. Oh, Penelope am I. But frankly, nothing comes to mind. Oh, 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 except, oh hell, my hose are hanging in the john. Should I go pale and wan or cheer? And on this magic day of days, I've worn a torn brassiere. Oh, oh, drat, oh, damn, he could have sent a telegram. And how was he so sure the coast was clear? That cluck, that clod, he's absolutely beautiful.
The last number on our agenda is Touch and Go. Patty, can we hear a little bit of Touch and Go? Let's go!
It's gonna be swell. Our story will hit the screens
with all of my favorite scenes. A little bit blue.
Yes, all I know is it's gonna be Touch and Go. All I know is it's gonna be flying low, and it's gonna gonna be scars to show, and it's gonna be hell. It's gonna be worse than wild. It's gonna be one small child.
It's gonna be two.
Oh, all I know is it's gonna be touch and go. All I know is it's gonna be grief and woe.
And it's gonna be plates to throw.
And it's gonna be blow for blow. But like I knew long ago, it's gonna be you.
I really just wanted to feature this number because I really, really like that little runner that they do two times. The first one is, all I know is it's gonna be flying low, and it's gonna be scars to show. And then later, oh, you know how you like to hear me sing, all I know is it's gonna be grief and woe, and it's gonna be plates to throw, and it's gonna be blow for blow. But like I knew long ago, it's gonna be you. Oh, it's like milk. It's like yummy milk. That's my voice. Yummy milk. All right. Speaking of milk, milk goes into coffee. That's all I have to say regarding the score. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, for How Now, Dow Jones. So let us now throw it over to our fine, fine sponsor, 5, 6, 7, 8 Coffee. And while that ad plays, I'm going to collect myself because I am schwitzing like nobody's business. Let's do it. Ha! Take it away. 5, 6, 7, 8. My little darlings, Madame Akati here once again, and I'm sure you're wondering, Madame Akati again? My goodness, why are we hearing from that old bird again? Oh, well, I just wanted to, provide a bit of an update on my situation, as well as a correction and an ode. All right, here. Well, we'll save the update on Madame Akati for the final bit of, this yummy promotion. Here's a correction for you. What I want to say to you, my little darlings, is that, in my first ad, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Coffee, I kept saying the phrase, something is coming to tea, when I really should have been saying something is coming to coffee. Right? Yes, of course. All right. And you might be wondering, oh, that's the correction, but what about this ode? Well, I was shocked when I heard the final product, that final ad. Oh, my goodness, I said nothing about my bicycle. Yes, I'm riding my bicycle again, as you can plainly hear. And I just wanted to provide an ode to my bicycle. I love 5, 6, 7, 8 Coffee. I love my Ouija board, of course, but I also love my bicycle. I love that it can take me anywhere. You don't have to spend any money on gasoline or expensive repairs. No, all I need are my handlebars, my seat, my comfy little seat, my two wheels, my bell, ring ring, and my horn. Honk honk, it's my passport to the world, don't you know? So, now that I've delivered an appropriate ode to my bicycle, I would like to draw your attention to this can of 5, 6, 7, 8 Coffee that's in my little bicycle basket. Yes, this is the update you've been waiting for on Madame Akati and her situation. What have I told you? There was a little creature living inside this 5, 6, 7, 8 Coffee can. That's right, my little darlings. There's a little ghost in here. Now, I can't show it to you right now because, well, it's an audio medium. Ooh, speaking of medium. I used my powers as a medium to call forth a fresh batch of ghosts for that coffee session, you know. You knew that this was going on, that was in my future. Well, what if I told you one of the ghosts decided to stay with me and lives with me here in the mortal realm? It's true, and he's in this little coffee can right now. Go ahead, speak through me,
Madame Arcati, introduce yourself.
Leave this place. Leave this place.
Oh, what did he say? Oh, I have no idea what he says when he speaks through me. The little darling. I'll have to listen when the final ad is released. Oh, but he's a charming little creature. No bigger than a field mouse.
Just walk away. Leave this place in this house. Just walk away.
Oh, well, that was fun. He took me over, and I had no idea it was going to happen. You know, that sometimes happens. The wires get crossed, and it seems that I'm about to ride my bicycle right off of a pier and into a lake. I say, little ghost, do you have anything to say before we both get drenched?
This world belongs to the dead.
Ah, here I go! 5, 6, 7, 8 coffee! You can count on it!
Ah! I can't swim. Ghosts can't swim.
Final thoughts regarding How Now, Dow Jones. Mommy, I want to buy the original cast album for How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Oh, don't be ridiculous, sweetie. We already have How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying at home. Oh, but we don't, Mommy. We really, really don't. Oh, what a pale imitation. Oh, no. Okay, so in 1968, the winner of the Tony Award for Best Musical was Hallelujah, Baby! And the additional nominees that season were The Happy Time, which we have discussed in the past here on the main feed, and Elia Darling, which we have not discussed. We haven't talked about Elia Darling or Hallelujah Baby. Here's a question. Did How Now, Dow Jones deserve to win Best Musical over Hallelujah Baby? Maybe, most likely not, I don't know. The musical man requires more information. Put a pin in that shit if you do not mind. Okay, all right. It is now time to rank How Now, Dow Jones against all of the other shows we talked about here on the podcast. As always, if you want to check out our ranked list, go to patreon.com/musicalmanpod, click through our pinned post, you'll go to our link tree where you'll find a link to our Google spreadsheet, the second tab of which is the ranked list. It's going to be right there waiting for you. Where does How Now, Dow Jones land on this list? It lands at number 104 between Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope at 103 and On the 20th Century at 105. Let it never be said, I am an unkind musical man. I find that is a very kind rating and it could change at any time. You never know. All right, show-related ephemera. Let's talk about the ongoing success of the song Step to the Rear. I told you it became a breakout hit for Marilyn May specifically. Her recording peaked at number 2 on Billboard's Easy Listening chart. Let's hear Marilyn May's recording of Step to the Rear.
Step to the rear and let a winner lead the way. Here's where we separate the notes from the noise, the men from the boys, the rose from the poison ivy back in the bunch. I came up with a hunch, this was an up and atom day. It's one of those spells where you hear step to the rear and let a winner lead the way. Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way? Here's where we separate the duck from the quack, the ace from the pack, the pip from the Macintoshes back in the group.
I've got in my eye such a jewel.
a 1969 ad, a commercial, for the Lincoln Mercury models. The latest line of cars for Lincoln Mercury. These ads used Step to the Rear, so let's hear that right here and now.
Hey, look at us now, we've got the winners and how Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way for 1969 with the all-new Marquee, the most dramatically styled motor car since the Continental Mark III. Marquee brings a completely new look to medium-priced luxury cars. Two- and four-door brougham. Richly appointed convertibles. And the world's most fashionable station wagon, Marquee Colony Park. If Continental made a wagon, this would be it. Marquee. 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 Each one a beautiful reason why
Lincoln Mercury.
I do have technically two more points within this little section of ours. Hubert Humphrey used Step to the Rear as part of his 1968 presidential campaign. Now, I did technically find an example of this online via YouTube, but the audio I found sounds awful. Just so bad. Like it was performed outside of a submarine and recorded from within that same submarine. Okay, so I apologize. I will let you know that he had another jingle as part of this campaign that was set to the Davy Crockett song, Hubert Humphrey. King of the Wild Frontier, something along those lines. And then I want to let you know that the University of South Carolina co-opted Step to the Rear and transformed it into their fight song, which is officially known as The Fighting Gamecocks Lead the Way. Here's a piece of information regarding this fight song that I pulled directly from Wikipedia. Quote, USC football coach Paul Dietzel wrote the new lyrics for the fight song, but asked that he remain anonymous because knowledge that the football coach wrote the lyrics might render it unacceptable as a fight song to the basketball program. Quote, what? Why would the basketball program be upset about the football coach writing the lyrics for the university's all-purpose general fight song? That really confused me. And alas, oh no, I could not find a recording of the fight song that included Paul's lyrics. What can you do? Okay, here is one final piece of ephemera for you. Here is How Now Dow Jones star Tony Roberts for U.S. News Magazine. Take it away, Tony.
If I said you could have this classic wristwatch free by reading U.S. News and World Report, I bet I know what you'd say. First you'd say, nice watch, tell me more about it. Then you'd say, U.S. News and World Report? That's because you don't really understand U.S. News, but it's quite simple. Look, start with a weekly news magazine, like Time or Newsweek. First, take out everything about Brooke Shields, Madonna, and Michael Jackson. Then, take out all the gossip. Finally, take out the food, fashion, and fads. Frankly, you've got some room in here now. So put in pages that really mean something to you, like getting the most personal value out of today's technology, finding career and financial opportunities in today's shifting marketplace, getting a quick bottom-line perspective on news events and business trends, getting smarter about new developments in science, society, and health, ways to make your taxes shrink and your money grow. Facts, figures, and practical information you can act on. There. Now you've got U.S. News. Now, about the watch. It's available in men's or women's classic style. The band is genuine leather, and the Swiss quartz movement is accurate within 15 seconds a month, and it's free with your paid subscription. How much is that? We'll give you a price that's only half the regular subscription cost of Time Magazine. Call 1-800-228-ARTS right now to get 27 weekly issues of U.S. News for only 56 cents each. Now that's a bargain. In fact, it's a savings of over 70% off the cover price. And it gets even better. We'll bill you just 3 easy payments of only $4.97. You want fluff? Buy a pillow. You want news and a free watch? Call now for U.S. News.
Hey, I like food, fashion, and fads. You know what? Fuck you and your watch, Tony Roberts. Ugh. Okay, so this commercial was uploaded to YouTube on February 15th, 2009 by Internet Lurker. That's the name of the YouTube user. And this person wrote at the time, quote, "If you have any information about this video, like voices or actors, please leave a comment. Help document for the great archive. Also, if you have a story about this video, please share it." Quote, well, here's a comment from 15 years ago. Quote, "Sorry, he's familiar, but nothing comes to mind." Quote, thank you for that. A comment from 15 years ago. Another one. Quote, "Looks a lot like Tony Roberts to me." Quote, and then here's a comment from 14 years ago. Quote, "I'm told that the actor is Tony Roberts, famous as Woody Allen's friend Max in Annie Hall." Quote, and then we have a comment from the original user, Internet Lurker. This is from 14 years ago. Quote, "I will add it to the title and keywords." Quote, and you know what? Internet Lurker was true to their word. Tony Roberts has now been properly credited in this YouTube upload. Thank God. Oh my God, we solved the mystery. To determine which show we discuss next, we'll need to take a ride on the musical carousel, otherwise known as the random number generator I named after that classic Rodgers and Hammerstein show, Hercule Poirot and the Monkey's Wrench, a musical mystery. Everyone ready? Then away we go! Next subject of the main feed is the 2007 winner of the Tony Award for Best Musical, which ran for 859 performances. This episode will drop via the main feed next week, okay? Ah, the name of the show, do you know it? It's Spring Awakening. Oh my God. Oh my God, such a popular show. It's a big one. Okay, go to patreon.com/musicalmanpod to find out how you can support the show financially. As a reminder, 100% of every monthly payout is donated to the Planned Parenthood Action Fund, and I will also match that amount with a separate donation to the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. You can donate $1, $3, $5, or $10 a month. $1 a month will get you Monday early access to all of our main feed episodes, as well as a verbal shout-out in every main feed episode. Hey, thank you so much for donating at least $1 a month. Caroline, Helena, Greg, Andy, Elizabeth, Aaron, Jason, Jack, Vitor, Sydney, Katie, Elena, Anton, Ross, HJG, Jared, Eli, David, Dave, Christopher, Neil, Brian, Robin, Liz, Carrie, Maddie, Jonathan, Marquez, Rob, Shauna, Shiante, Roberto, Jordan, Ashley, Chris, JC, Jenna, Aaron, Lily, Haley, Brandon, Brad, Matt, Zach, and Marisol. You also get 21 bonus episodes regarding the following subjects: the 73rd Annual Tony Awards, a trailer review for the film Cats, The Little Mermaid Live, a full review of the film Cats, Emma at Chicago Shakespeare Theater, Take Me to the World, a Sondheim 90th birthday celebration, Hamilton via Disney Plus, Documentary Now, original cast album, Co-op, John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch, Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey, Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square, Arlo the Alligator Boy, a trailer for Steven Spielberg's West Side Story, Vivo, the Tony Awards present Broadway's Back, Diana, Annie Live, The Notebook at Chicago Shakespeare Theater, Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration, the 1999 animated film, The King and I, Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, hey, that's our most recent bonus episode, for which we were joined by our wonderful guest, Brandon Shockney. More $1 a month bonus episodes coming your way very soon. You also get season one, that's 12 episodes of Radio Boy, a series for which I check in with myself via the non-musical theater songs that make me feel more like myself, and all 16 episodes of M3, the Movie Musical Man, a series for which we watch movie musicals that are tied by common themes, it's true. If you donate $3 a month, you get everything I've already described, plus a musical shout-out in the style of a character, actor, or composer of your choosing, all 10 episodes of Wildcats Everywhere, the High School Musical podcast, a special one-off all about Julie and the Phantoms, and all 14 episodes of TV VIP, a series dedicated to musical television shows. $5 a month will get you everything I've already described, plus you'll get to stop the musical carousel and determine what show I discuss on the podcast. You get seasons 1 and 2, that's 24 episodes, of All I Ask of You, an advice show hosted by the Phantom of the Opera, all 14 episodes in our Broadway in Chicago review series, and volumes 1 through 6 of Shout About It. These are collections, compendiums, if you will, of 5, 6, 7, 8 coffee ads and musical shoutouts from the first 150 episodes of the show. $10 a month will get you everything I've already described, plus exclusive announcements regarding future subjects of the main feed. Season 1, that's 12 episodes of The Snub Club, a series dedicated to Broadway musicals that were snubbed. They were not nominated for the Tony Award for Best Musical, okay? And finally, all 12 episodes of Turn It Off, a series dedicated to off-Broadway musicals. If you're listening to the show via Apple Podcasts or Podchaser, please take a moment to, why not, write a 5-star review, why don't you? You can stream the show via Spotify, Audible, or Podbean. That's musicalmanpod.podbean.com. And hey, email me whenever you want at musicalmanpod@gmail.com. Thanks as always to Patty and Benny in the booth in Chicago. Thank you to Alex Green for our beautiful logo. And thank you to Zach Little for our fabulous intro and outro music. Oh, but you know what that sound means. Yes, just when the fun is starting comes the time for parting. Oh well, we'll catch up some other time, specifically on the next episode of The Musical Man. So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, and good night.
Musical about Wall Street, would you? Well, they did, with How Now, Dow Jones. You wouldn't think they could make a musical about Wall Street, would you? Well, they did, with How Now, Dow Jones.
Nice watch. Tell me more about it. Bye.